Spirit of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, we find ourselves in 1 John 5, verse 18. 1 John 5, 18. God the Father desires those that worship Him to worship Him in spirit and in truth. True worship involves the ingredients of the ministry of God the Holy Spirit in the believer who is in fellowship, and the content, what the Holy Spirit reveals to us, the word of truth. This is your opportunity to put aside everything that might be a source of distraction to you and focus your attention on the information to be presented this day. All of it is critical to you as a believer in the short time that all of us have to make the most of the time, redeem the time, and build ourselves up in Christ so that we can stand in that special place when we come under the judgment of the Lord Jesus Christ for our phase two. Every person will come into judgment. No one can escape it. Believers have their own separate judgment for this dispensation. After we are raised up out of here, we will appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and we will be evaluated for our actions as believers in time. We cannot glorify God without the truth in our souls. We need the truth. So this is your opportunity to prepare yourself and keep yourself prepared. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, since man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth from your mouth, we've assembled ourselves together to receive this spiritual nourishment and edification and instruction so that we can continue to move forward in the right way in these last days. Be with us in our study, in Christ's name. Amen. All right. The epistle of 1 John ends with, in these two verses, with three affirmations on Christian doctrine. And the final verse of the chapter is a final exhortation. Again, John is writing to believers who were informed with regard to the plan of God. These believers had been in the faith for a considerable amount of time. And so he can say, "We know. We know." We have here in the Greek the perfect indicative of the verb oida, which means to know something. We know. You are what you know. Lack of knowledge kills people, destroys people. One place in the Old Testament, "My people perish for a lack of knowledge." Knowledge of God, knowledge of His plan. Otherwise, you are simply thrown out here in the world, bouncing around from one thing to the next, tossed about by every wind of doctrine, by every idea and concept that happens to be in vogue at any particular time. We know. And this could be the shocker if you don't have the essential information. You could immediately take issue with this, except there's something you need to know to unlock the secret to this first phrase of the affirmation. If anyone walked up to you and said this, you'd take issue with them immediately. Unless you knew some things that are germane to this epistle. Otherwise, you have taken it, I say at face value, taking it at face value, you would say, "Whoa, this isn't right." We know that no one. That's simply the adjective pos, all, everyone in the singular. Translated no one who is born of God. Of course, that's the new birth, perfect passive participle, genao. Genao. To be born, like born into the world, born to parents. It's the simple verb for someone to be born. Okay, who is born, but this is of God. Preposition ek with the definite article, theos. This is a spiritual birth, born of God, or what we call the second birth, the spiritual birth. The human or natural birth incorporated us into the family of humanity. The spiritual birth incorporates us into the family of God. The family of God consists of all believers through time, from the beginning to the end, to the last person who in time believes for salvation. The new birth is the same in every dispensation. It is a birth actuated by God the Holy Spirit. And as in a physical birth, we are given first biological life connected to our female parent. We are given biological life. Then we are born and we are given a living soul. The soul comes when you came out from the womb. And it came in connection with our very first breath of air. God imputed a living soul, your most valuable possession. And in that soul is various attributes, one of which is free will, volition. And everyone has free will. Make choices, good and bad. Free will. So, the individual is born into the human family and God gives them a soul. That's the most he can do for them at that point. More on that. But they are incorporated into the human family. And we all get here the same way. By divine creation and divine design. It is a great miracle, phenomenon, that a human can come through that path and enter into the human race. The new birth, the Holy Spirit gives us life, spiritual life, where we did not have before, only spiritual death. There's a positive and a negative to being born physically. The positive is the person's given life, given a soul. Opportunity to live on the earth and do what they will. And then there's the negative side. Because we are carriers of the sin nature, we are rendered spiritually dead and under condemnation. We are in Adam, and in Adam all die. To get out of Adam, we have to believe in Jesus Christ, the last Adam, and we have to believe in him. See, he's the head of a federal race. Adam was the head of the human race. He's the head of a federal race, a race of believers through time who believe in him for salvation. Then we are given eternal life and our spiritual death is canceled. We have nothing in that regard to be concerned about with regard to our eternal destiny. Those who remain in Adam wind up in hell and the lake of fire. Where the soul goes, the body follows. But the shocker is, we know that no one who is born of God sins. The word sins is the present, linear, active, indicative of the verb to sin, harmatano. Now we all know that we are all born again. because we exercise faith in Christ. And we all know that we sin every day. You may be sinning right now. Mental attitude sin. Out of fellowship. So what's this all about? Stay tuned. I'll try to explain it. But he who was born of God, again, aorist passive participle. We had a perfect passive participle. Now we have an aorist passive participle of the same verb to be born. Same expression, ek, from the God. Who is born of God, who was born of God, keeps him. Present active indicative, keeps him. The pronoun autos, him. In other words, it's the doctrine of eternal security. That first phrase, the troublesome one, the one that people could go hang themselves with, get into trouble with, possibly, come up with false doctrine that I don't sin anymore. That first one has to do with the unbeliever or the believer or the person up until they believe in Christ keeps on being ruled by their sin nature. They're locked into it. That doesn't mean they do bad stuff all the time. These people do really good stuff. But they are locked in to their sin nature, the ruler of life. That's what it means there. The one who is born of God breaks the chain. I taught this before in 1 John. You have to be very careful. They break the chain for one moment in time, at least, to use an extreme case. At one point in time, they break that chain. When they believed in Christ and fulfilled the commandment to do so, momentarily, they were not ruled by their sin nature. It was broken. The new ruler of life was the Holy Spirit. That's a part of the introduction to the Christian life. That's what this is about. Keeps on sinning under the rule of the old sin nature. See the doctrine of the rulership of life. Paul teaches the same thing, but different way of expressing it. So he says three things here. The one who is born of God breaks the pattern. They break the pattern of the rulership of the sin nature. Other things are true too. But that's brought out in these other observations or affirmations. But he who is born of God, God keeps him. Now that's our doctrine of eternal security. See, it's the same individual. Reduce it to any given individual. He keeps him. Every day and every way, he is kept in the plan of God. He's a child of God. And nothing can undermine that. Nothing can upset that. Jesus taught this while on earth, that no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. No external force or power, whether it's within the individual or something external to them, can remove them from being a child of God. Whether they're a good child of God or a bad, that's irrelevant. Most are not believers. They don't come up to grade. They just do not. They fall short because they're not committed to the plan of God in time. Okay. And in regard to the fact that God keeps him, and the evil one, what John's one of the terms for, of course, Satan, the evil one par excellence, the most evil one of all, the evil one, Paneros, with a definite article, does not touch him. Opto is the present middle indicative. Opto does not touch. Now, touch here is a euphemism. See, I can touch this. That's non-euphemistic. Touched something. Made contact with something. But touch can be used as a euphemism. It can be used as a euphemism of marital relations between a man and a woman. It also is used as a euphemism for harm. Don't touch that. Means don't harm that. So it's used here as a euphemism, an expression. And we use a lot of euphemisms in life. Adam knew his wife Eve. Well, they just didn't go up and shake hands. Glad to meet you. That would be somebody. So there's a euphemism. And sometimes we call it polite language. And there's a place for it. Continuing with the "we know" affirmations. So you walk out of here today, you get this information, you can say, "I know that. I understand that." The difficult one was the lead one. That's the one that snaps your head back. Because you and I are committed to the idea that we have to have the second adjustment to God and the doctrine related to rebound, and we have to have that. That's how we moment by moment maintain and keep ourselves in fellowship. We know that. So there's something else. It's more sophisticated. It is that chain is broken. When I believed in Christ, the chain was broken. Before that, all those years up to that point, I'm in bondage to my sin nature. I do not have any information to get myself free of it. I don't even understand any of it, of course. That doesn't matter. I'm in bondage. Good day, bad day, every day, all the way, whatever I'm doing, I'm in bondage to the flesh. I'm ruled by the genetically engineered sin nature until I believed in Christ. And I broke the chain. Or God broke it, however you want to say it. Then somewhere down the road, I got doctrine how to really keep breaking that chain and not keep being ruled 24/7 by the STA. Maybe I accidentally did it. Accidentally. Maybe I did the Lord's so-called prayer, forgive me of my sins. Okay, I can be forgiven. But it ain't going to do me any good unless I'm... really do me any good. I mean, it does some good, I guess. Until I get... See, I didn't come into church like you do. I didn't come into an assembly before I got on the right teaching. I didn't come into a church with this awareness, Jack, you need to be in fellowship while that man up there is teaching. You can't afford to sit here out of fellowship. You can't be worrying about what's out there or this or that or anything else. You have got to be in fellowship. So if you need to rebound through the session, fine. You start, your mind wanders over here. All the kind of things that keep people out of fellowship. I didn't know that. That was not an issue. There was not a pause. Okay, everybody, let's be sure we're in fellowship before we enter into this. As an exhortation, encouragement to believers to stay in fellowship. Because it's so easy to get out. I have scripture to back that up. All over the place. So the propensity is you are on this razor's edge, so to speak. And rebound gets you there. Do not be discouraged because you get out of fellowship with some little thing or something knocking you out of fellowship. Pop back. The grace of God is there and it's big enough for you to be able to use rebound 1,000 times in a day to use just to pick a figure out of thin air. Otherwise, how can you make it? Yes, it's nice when you say, "I'm not going there. I'm not going to get involved in that. I'm not going to let fear run me today. It ran me yesterday, but it's going to run me today. Or I was worried about this or that. I'm going to cast fear out." Perfect love, when you're filled with the Spirit, when you're in fellowship, that other is in its cage, so to speak, neutralized for the moment. always wanting to come out, always wanting to insert its agenda over us. That's the mystery of the Christian life. The flesh always is wanting to assert its agenda over us. It has a mind of its own. It isn't your fault. Yes, you are culpable. I am culpable when I commit a sin. The point is, it's not your fault because you have this monster in you. It's not your fault. You didn't order it. It was just delivered to you, signed and sealed, and you had no choice. It's yours from birth. And you will have it as one of the things we have to fight against as Christians. Well, you Christians are hypocrites because you sin. What? Okay, so I am a hypocrite. So I get up here and teach, don't do that, and then I go do it. Does that invalidate me? No. You can rebound hypocrisy. Laying aside all hypocrisy. Blah, blah, blah. A list in sin lists you find in the New Testament, for instance. So, you want to come up and hit someone over the head with that? Here's how you hit back. Yeah, it's hypocritical to teach one thing, and there's levels of hypocrisy. We're not talking about the hypocrisy that's off the charts like the Pharisees. Their hypocrisy was, you know, and there are those who have this incredible level of hypocrisy. But at least the believer in Jesus Christ knows that, yes, this is a sin. I've affirmed it is a sin. Do you ever exhort someone on something and go, oops, I just did that? You were right to exhort them or encourage them, but you fell for it too. All right, continue with the we knows. Because that's my desire for you, is that you know these things. That you understand how to play this game, so to speak. By the rules. By the particulars that we have to deal with. We know that we are of God. This is again a part of that confidence factor. Perfect indicative. We know that we are from God. See, he drops the born of God. He shortens it and just says, we are of God. We have our spiritual source in God. And, at the same time, that the entire cosmos lies in the evil one. They've added, in italics, the power of, which is fine. It's to try to bring that out. We know that the whole cosmos, entire cosmos, and again here, cosmos is viewed, we're in the cosmos. We're a part of the cosmos. But we are not of it anymore, if you understand that. They are of the cosmos. In the full sense of the word, those that are outside the plan, they are of the cosmos. The whole world lies. This word, kaimai, present indicative, means to lie or reside somewhere. In, again, John's, the evil one, a title for Satan. He's earned it. He is the original sinner. He committed the first sin ever. And you know what it was? Pride. God gave him all these good looks, all this scintillating exterior, all this wisdom and all this position. The original sin was pride of appearance. Pride of appearance. He looked in the mirror one time. There's nothing wrong with saying, look what God made me look like. It went to his head, so to speak. The original sin was a mental attitude sin. Now all the other sins that he's committed since then, but this was the original sin that got him evicted from his position. He was the first person to be fired from a job. And it was unceremoniously he was fired. He was ejected from there. Jesus made reference to that. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And he's referring to his deity. His humanity wasn't around. See, these are the things you have to have if you're going to figure out what's in the Bible. You've got to have this. Without this technical information, you are just floundering around, bouncing from one verse to the next, and getting stuff wrong all over the place. It's like a roadmap. Don't turn here. Here's the turn. Here's where we go. And we do this, and we worked on this, and we worked on this to try to get this all lined out. And it has to be repeated over and over until believers hear it as in their face. If you got away from this, or if you just, I know that, it'll eventually erode. You have to have this uploaded and strong in your frame of reference every day, and you have to have Bible class to make this happen. Or you just go out here as a believer, and you're neutralized in the cosmos. And we know that the Son of God has come. That's basic 101 Christianity. But you're not surprised by the millions that don't acknowledge this. We know that the Son of God has come. Present indicative, hecho, have come. Interesting here, I didn't quite get this. It's not a perfect, it's not an aorist, it's a present. The Son of God has come. But it's translated like a past tense, isn't it? But it's a present indicative of a more rare word, hecho, come, not erkomai. He has come. Okay, we would go back to the first advent. And has given us understanding. And give, perfect, indicative, didomai, and give us dianoia, understanding. It's one thing to know something, and it's another thing to have understanding of it. Real, real understanding. You can know basic data, but to be able to put it together with other things in situations where it requires more than just throwing one verse at somebody. Sometimes that works, but sometimes it's insight beyond just the surface. You have insight. That's why we have statements in the Scripture. Get knowledge, and along with knowledge, get understanding. You know, just to be a bunch of under a knowledge is great, but you have to be able to put it into play in a given situation, and not and just that's why we go through this, so that possibly you find yourself in a situation similar to what these believers we study. You can work your way through it. Might be like a math problem or something. You get off track, you're not going to get the right answer. And has given us an understanding so that we know Him, so that we know Him, present subjunctive, and there He throws in a subjunctive, so that we may know Him. That's why we have M-A-Y in there. So that we may know Him who is true, genuine, real, true. Alethanos, the adjective, with the article. You could translate, and has given us understanding so that we may know Him who is the true one. I am the way, the truth, and the life, says Jesus. Those who come to Him find salvation, and those who continue to cultivate that relationship with Him through the intake of Bible doctrine, they are the ones with understanding and insight. And this is what most people will not commit themselves to. They're not interested because their STAs got them by the throat, and they're out here running around trying to find happiness, pandering to their sin nature. Oh, if I had that, I'd be happy. If I had her, I'd be happy. If I had a car like that, if I had all that stuff. And they got it completely backward. You pursue God, and you pursue His plan, and He will pursue you with these things. But then that might require patience. And the understanding that when I'm ready for it and can handle it, then God will drop it on me. In the meantime, I'm going to wait on the Lord and I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to trust Him no matter if it doesn't even look good. I'm going to put my trust in Him. And if I am without in this area that other people have, that's fine too. That's His choice. He can give, He can take away, because I know that all He's going to do is going to be for my good. You have to have faith in that principle. Oh, why is this? And oh, no. It's if you're positive and you're striving forward, it is for your ultimate spiritual good, and He won't ever put on you any more than you can handle, and it'll all work together for you for good in time. And of course, here we are. We don't have much time left. I don't have much time left because of my age. I don't have much time left because of where I'm at in the church age. So, whatever comes down, it comes down. If certain things are subtracted from you, you have to suffer certain things. Your health is degraded in an area. We all have that. Some of us, a lot of us. Okay, fine. We're going to be out of here. I can get SG3 under this. It's going to work for my good. Okay. Has given us understanding so that we may know Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true. Positional sanctification. This is a safe place to be. In Christ. Those outside Christ, that's not safe. That is ultimate high risk. And we are in Him who is true. And we are in the true one. His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the ultimate celebrity. This is the one God is exalted to His right hand. This is the one that every knee will bow and has a name above every name of anybody that could be named on earth, in heaven, wherever. We are in Christ. We share His destiny. And that means a lot beyond what a lot of people have any capacity for. This is the true God and eternal life. Interesting way He presents stuff. This keeps on being the true Alethanos, God, and eternal life. Who? Jesus Christ is God. He is God. He is the source of eternal life to all who believe in Him. Not the Holy Spirit gives it to us, but same difference. He's the source of eternal life. Immortality. Living forever under perfect conditions. So perfect that it will make this life at its best look shabby. One. We know occurs 15 times in 1 John in 14 verses. We know. What do you know? Well, you should know a lot if you've been here at Maranatha Church and spent any time under doctrine. We know. It is used in connection with Christian assurance. As in 2:3. By this we know we've come to know Him. This is a reinforcement. Let's take a believer out there that doesn't fulfill the commandments. They're not going to even go to a church. Nothing. They don't fulfill any of this. Well, they don't have this assurance. We have assurance through application of doctrine. You apply doctrine. That gives you assurance that you are a child of God. By this we know that we've come to know Him if we keep His commandments. Verse 5. But whoever keeps His word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in Him. It's an assurance. It's a building factor. We keep on applying Bible doctrine in our life. We have assurance that we are in the plan of God. We need this assurance as we move through time. Are you really a Christian? Are you a believer? So forth and so on. As I told you before, in my past experience, prior to getting on track with what I would consider to be sound doctrine, or at least the path to it, you weren't given assurance. It was undermined. Because they would not tell you the truth, because they didn't know it either, or they walked away from it. They didn't want to tell you the truth about the sin nature. They didn't want to tell you that. Oh, you did that. And away we go with trying to unwind and make you feel bad that maybe you really weren't really saved. But you can look at objectively at the Bible and say to yourself, I believed in Christ. You might even know back in your history when you confronted that issue for the first time. And if you can't remember it, that's not a problem either. You just believed at some point along the way. As some have said to me, I don't know, I guess when I was a kid, I believed. I was going, you know. So you don't have to have the lights go on and, you know, hear a choir and all kinds of stuff when you get saved. You know that stupid song, Heaven Came Down and Glory Filled My Soul? Well, you know, and it all comes up with emotionalism. That you got to have a certain feeling. Well, I felt a certain way, but I was in a revival environment. You can imagine what that was. But I believed. So, 3:14. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. Now, just because if you don't love the brethren, if you don't have agape love for a fellow believer, doesn't mean you didn't pass from death to life. It just means, but when you do, and you have this Christian fellowship based on the love factor, he who does not love abides in death. Okay? So there's another example. In 24, same thing. The one who keeps his commandments abides in him. That's fellowship. And he in him. We know by this that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. Okay. And 5:2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe his commandments. And that's very important because, you know, if you're not keeping his commandments, then how can you say you love fellow believers? Have it mean anything? You can't. The way you treat and relate to them. Observe his commandments. 5:2 and, of course, well, not of course, 15. And if we know he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him. So, kind of wordy, I mean, for me, but anyway, it's just the basic thing is confidence in prayer. Confidence that you can offer up a prayer and it's going to get answered. You've probably heard people pray publicly and they exude lack of confidence. It's more like they're begging God or would you, could you type of thing. No. Respectfully, but boldly, you come before the throne of grace. This is something I need. I need help here. Help me deal with this situation. Or provide me whatever the request is. You're talking to your Father. And yes, you talk to him and you follow the protocol of prayer and all that business and you're in fellowship. That's what it means to come boldly before the throne of grace in time of need. Also, it is used in connection with the proliferation of false teachers. We know there's all kinds of false teachers out there. Antichrist type. Back in 2:18. See, this is one of the keys to the thing, is the searching through on the we know factor. Children, it is the last hour. And just as you've heard that Antichrist is coming, even many Antichrist types, that means, have appeared. From this we know that it's the last hour. It's another sign of the times, the proliferation of false teacher. And now with all this history behind us and all these people on the earth, it's just exploded. They're everywhere. Out there. False teachers. People contradicting sound doctrine. And all degrees of it. Our ultimate sanctification, 3:2. Beloved, now we are children of God. See, this is something to hammer away. Imagine being in an organization and you not know if you're a child of God or not. Well, when you die, then we'll find out. Well, that's great. Pathetic is what it is. Now we are children of God. It has not appeared as yet what we will be. We can discuss the resurrection body, and I try to give you some features of it, what it can do, what can't happen to it, the dynamic of it. But beyond that, I come to a dead end. I can't describe that. We just have to get there, and then we'll recognize. It's dynamic. Because it does, some of it may not make sense based on our human body and what it needs and its limitations. It's a whole dynamic, but it's a real body, as much as the one you're in now. That's where Jesus convinced his disciples. Make contact with me. Do I feel like I'm a spirit? And, you know, close your eyes, you touch. Yeah, it's just like a real person, except it's a resurrection body. It can do and accomplish things that his body before could not have done. We get one just like his. This is a great verse on that particular aspect of the resurrection body. Beloved, we are now children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be, and the Greek word is kathos, just like him, not kind of like him. It's just like him, because we will see him, contact eyes, just as he is currently in his resurrection glory. We will see him like you see anybody else. And so that verse loads up a lot regarding this. Our ability to distinguish between those who are of the truth and those who are not of the truth. And that isn't always necessarily easy to do, because there's some real good lookalikes out there, like fool's gold, counterfeits. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. Well, there's a lot of people. I even know Christians. They won't listen to me. I tell them some basic stuff. Well, they might listen, you know, politely. But they don't cash in on it. It's not a real to them. Well, that's interesting. I never thought of that. Because I do get to witness to a few people from time to time. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. That distinguishes. Now, of course, you have to be careful with this. And I would caution you to be careful with this in evaluating other people. You can go down a whole laundry list of doctrines you believe and find out this person believes a whole list of these things. Okay, fine. They've got that much information. But certain things that they're gonna balk on. 4:13. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he's given us his spirit. All right. John asserts three doctrinal truths that these believers were apprised of in these three verses. The first is a shocker, as it appears to teach sinless perfection, which clearly contradicts 1 John 1:8-10 and 2:1, and just from the book of 1 John. All right. The solution to this theological issue is to view the present tense of the verb to sin as durative or a linear present. Those who are non-believers, are ruled by the STA under spiritual death 24/7. They can get involved in self-improvement. They can go to an anger management class. They can do whatever they do to try to improve their activity, quit doing certain bad things they've been doing because it's destructive. Okay. A moral reformation of some sort. Yeah, there are people that do that. Put away drugs and addictive stuff that's wrecking their lives. People do that. But they're still ruled by their sin nature. They're still at its mercy. They're still locked in to the world, the cosmos, the flesh, and under and they lie in the evil one. They can't get out of that. No matter how good they act and with honorable actions, they are ruled by the flesh. Note Romans 6:17 in this regard. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, he includes all the Romans in that, and of all walks of life, of all dispositions and activities that made up the Christian church in Rome, that you are all slaves of sin. You became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And verses 18 through 23, all of that lays this out. That's how you broke free from this slave market of sin and broke free from this constant domination of the flesh. You were given a resource, and God gave you a dynamic to step and be free of your STA. That's the great thing about being a believer. At any time, you can throw off the old, put on the new. Throw off the old, put on the new. That's the Christian life. That's not all of it, but it's a major part of the Christian life. Without that knowledge and that understanding, you are stuck. A believer is stuck without that. That they cannot arise above their lack of knowledge in this regard. On the other hand, when a person believes in Christ, the rule of the STA is momentarily interrupted. It's a harbinger of the kingdom of God to come. The person is now broke free from this rule of the genetically emplaced old sin nature. This concept is sought in 3:4. No one who sins, keeps on sin, has seen him or knows him. Really? See, there's another one that could be used to teach sinless perfection. And I'll bet you some people have taken this and really run some people over with it. But even these people that pretend that they're above it, we watch them. Watch them close enough. They sin. They sin. You can tick them off. They can't keep their cool under certain things. They will sin. Not that you should provoke people to sin, of course. It's time for a break. Let's take our break, okay? Who did that?